America tonight, getting ready to kick off another crazy week at the tail end of January. Do you believe it? We bagged 1 month in 2014. The president readies for his State of the Union address. Heavy focus on immigration. Interesting, since the head of Homeland Security is saying illegals have earned the right to be citizens. What do you think? I'm going to roll the dice and say, at least 60% of you or more, I'm going to say maybe 60 to 95% of you are going to disagree with that statement, but we'll flush that out a little bit more. Speaking of being flushed out, the people in Minnesota are being strung out as it is a whiteout, freezing conditions in the mothership land, the homeland. I was on a plane in coming back from Hawaii just a few hours ago and sat near a couple from Minnesota who didn't even have any gate information. So they figured, well, we're spending some time in Dallas in a layover, knowing how awful it was in talking to people back there in Minnesota. And of course, Matt Johnson, who is manning the ship right now, was telling me right before we went on the air just how awful it is. Matt, what is the temperature there and what's the problem? Is it winds? Is it snow? What is it? We've lost Matt. He's probably blowing down the hallway. Before we got on, he talked about the fact that it was like a whiteout, and he was saying that there was big concerns. Everything is closed down. A lot of businesses are closed down. Once again, schools are closed. You know, you wonder how long these kids are going to be going to school. It's like the kids in the Northeast, in New Jersey and the New York area, they're saying already, and I think I've mentioned this before, they're into June. They're into June, end of June by the time they get out. Right now, I think it's up to like June 25th or something like that. It could be into July. Isn't that crazy? Because they've had so many snow days. So as we grab a hold of all the nuggets out there, I want to make sure that we hit them all. I think the big thing politically is going to be Obama's State of the Union address and this whole thing with immigration. Also, another shooting. This time it's in a mall. So what is the deals there? The deal there, it's about the motives. What is the motive? And the motive they still don't know, apparently. And this was in Maryland where they had this small shooting. While some people are dealing with weather, in Maryland they were once again shaking their heads. Two people at a Maryland mall were killed. And people, you know, ducked, ran for cover, didn't know what to do. This is becoming all too familiar in our culture. A teenage skateboarder who had no criminal record, all of a sudden shows up at a mall, has a shotgun, tons of ammunition, a backpack filled with explosives, homemade varieties, and decides that he's going to shoot. Darian Aguilar took a cab to the mall in Columbia. It's a suburb in Baltimore. Happened Saturday morning. Went in near a shop that sold skateboarding equipment, went downstairs to a food court below the store, then returned an hour later, dumped the backpack in a dressing room, and started shooting. What could this possibly be about? Shoppers panicked. Some barricaded themselves. What do you do? When the cops came, they had three people dead. Two people in the store and this Aguilar who had killed himself. And what are people saying? Just a nice teenager, quiet, graduated from high school, had no prior records, and they're trying to piece together what could this motive be? What could drive this kid to do that? And people so far are coming up empty. They're stunned. Quiet, nice, friendly. That's it. No indication that he was in a black mood, that he had problems with somebody, none of that. So we'll see. Ultimately, I hope something does emerge, because the only way that we will ever know how to try to attack some of these mental health issues is to get to the bottom of what's going on with people out there that where this is happening. So once again, a mall shooting on a Saturday morning sends people scurrying for cover, a very busy time when people are running errands and easily could have been victimized if they had happened to walk into that store. Mostly you're going to get teenagers, but their parents too as well, that could have been in a skateboarding kind of shop. Very, very sad. What a way to kick things off, eh? And I say it all the time, but it's true. So now you have malls, schools, churches, restaurants, public places where you just wouldn't think about that. Now more than ever, people just have to be diligent about looking around. In this case, there's no way you would think this. He's a skinny, quiet teenager skateboarder kid. He comes in, goes into a dressing room. Are you thinking he's going to come out and start shooting people? And the answer is no. I don't think so. As I promised, we will jump around. So we're talking about a couple of different things, including this one that made big news. When I was in Hawaii, I saw a lot of cruise ships come into Lahaina, you know, in this town in Maui. And one of them was one of those Royal Caribbean cruise line boats. So this boat, the Royal Caribbean cruise line on Sunday, ended a 10-day trip early because hundreds of passengers and some of their crew, too, got sick. What is going on? And, you know, cruises couldn't be more popular. People missing, people falling off of the boats, people getting sick, the boats having problems in some cases. So the Centers for Disease Control got on the Explorer of the Seas during the Virgin Island part of where they were headed to investigate what it was, to figure out what the outbreak was. So once they had an illness like this, then that's it. Your cruise is over. 281 people. That's like 10% of the over 3,000 people that were on this boat. It was 15-deck ship. Got sick. 22 crew said they were sick, felt ill, thrown up, all that kind of stuff. And it really spiked over the weekend. So they had said they had cleaning products, they had disinfectants, all that stuff. They sanitized everything. And they're trying to figure out what happened on the Explorer of the Seas. I'll tell you, the most important person at a cruise company is whoever does their PR, whoever their spokesperson is. Because they're constantly on call for these crazy things these crazy things that happen on these boats where they have to answer questions. So what is it? Does it make you want to take a cruise? Even if the weather's bad outside, do you want to really take a cruise and take the risk? Ah, me oh my oh. Kate Delaney, back at the helm. See you in a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy, freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
I can't even think of a joke because it's not funny at this point for most people. And I mentioned here in America tonight that Matt Johnson, the technical maestro of ATN, was actually out checking the weather for us to give us a real-time update. Matt, what's it like in Minneapolis right now?
It's pretty brutal. Basically, what's happening is it's about 8 below right now, which is, in general, pretty awful. But it's also, we also have 20 mile an hour winds, and so all the mathematicians out there came up with a formula on the real field temperature, and the real field temperature right now, let me look here, is a negative 36.
Oh!
And it's causing pretty awful conditions there. I know they shut down part of 94, which is one of the main freeways here that runs through Minneapolis and St. Paul. They shut that down because it was blizzard, whiteout conditions, because we got a bunch of snow last week, and it's pushing all the snow all over the place and getting huge snow drifts. And basically, I mean, on my way down here, there were times where you couldn't see the road.
Wow, that's scary.
Yeah.
That's very scary.
And basically, tomorrow they canceled everything. The University of Minnesota canceled classes. Almost every school district in the metro area canceled classes, and there's some businesses that are shutting down too. And basically, it's like it was a couple of weeks ago when they shut down because of the cold, but it's also just whiteout conditions as well. So it's kind of a trifecta of snow drifts, wind, and extreme cold.
Yeah, and that's it. People can stay home. That's the smart thing to do. That's why they're closing everything down, because Matt, it had to be scary driving in, because I don't care how good of a defensive driver you are, somebody else could smash into you. You can't see. You either got to stop or pull over.
And
what do you do?
It's that. It's not only, okay, I mean, you can't really see on the roads and because of the wind and the snow and everything, but then also there's snow on the ground, there's ice, and it's just a bad condition, I guess.
Yeah, that's bad. That's poor driving. You know, I can relate to you, though, Matt. I will say this. I was, when I was in Maui, everybody thinks, oh, sunny, great, all that kind of stuff. But I decided I was going to go up to see the top of Haleakala, which is the volcano in Maui, and the top of it, a lot of people will go up to see the sunrise. I decided to do the sunset thing, and let me tell you what a mistake. I made it, thank goodness, to the top of it. You know, you're just over there 10,000 feet, and it's very cool when you get up. So it's warm. It's 80 degrees on the bottom. Then you get up top, and all of a sudden it's 20 degrees, and then the wind is blowing all over the place, and it's ice. There's ice all over the observation center if you're inside to get a little bit of shelter. But getting there was so treacherous. They were like switchbacks, and the sun was beaming right down on the windshield. So you know that blinding sun? I guarantee all of you had experienced this. I don't care what road you're driving down. At some point, there's that awkward time where the shade, when you pull down the shade in the front of your car, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm talking about? On either side, passenger side, driver's side, you don't care about the driver's side, but it doesn't block that much sun. So it's the weird way the sun will come down. So we kept going back and forth in it. I am telling you, I really thought, oh, by the grace of God, I'm not going to fly off at the top of this volcano because, you know, I have guardrails. And there's other cars. It was nutty. Got to the top, going down, piece of cake. That's the good news there. So whether it's a whiteout condition or the sun that is making it impossible for you to see the roadway, I got you on that one. It is rough. And these winter temperatures, it'll be interesting when we get through the winter to see what kind of records overall have been set. I mean, I think across the board in most states, that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the records that were shattered. Now, that's like the weatherman's dream when they come on the air and they talk about, back in 1955, we had the coldest day ever in Minneapolis history. Well, I guarantee they've gone on the air and they've said over and over again, guess what? We're beating those. And Minnesota seems to be one of the ground zero places where it's been some of the worst weather that they've ever experienced, as far as the temperatures especially. But not just Minnesota. I mean, there's other places where they're talking about the temperatures they haven't seen in forever. Philadelphia, they've had over 16 inches of snow, well over 16 inches of snow. They've gotten 6 inches of snow plus, at least on 3 occasions. It was snowing again over the weekend. Snow. The people there, it's almost like they're in shock. And that's one of those places where the kids have off so much, but they can't send them to school in whiteout conditions. Too dangerous. Who's going to wait at a bus stop when it's frigid temperatures? You can't have your kids in that situation. So they have no choice but to call school off to shut it down. But shutting it down means another day of going to school in the summer. And I remember it was automatic. May came, you took some finals, and that was it. Boom, you are done. There's not too much you are done anymore. It's, I hope we get through the school year, because the further we go, the more days that we have to cancel, the more of a chance that 4th of July might be that rare day off. We're going to be going deep into July. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk to my pal Nazir, who lived in Afghanistan. He's been on the show a couple of times, and this is part of our re-rack, some of the best interviews of the week. He talks about Afghanistan, how it is now, what it's like for him, what he saw happening in Afghanistan. Then we talked to Ivan Eland for a look at Afghanistan, really Iraq, what's blown up in Iraq, and the Middle East policies. So this 1-2 combination is so timely as we see Iraq is imploding, and I hope I'm wrong and it goes in a different direction, but it hasn't been that way now for 6 months. It just seems to keep getting worse, more bombs in marketplaces, suicide bombers, religious factions, going right back, reverting right back to what it was. And then in Afghanistan, we're still kind of in a little bit of a limbo because of our pal Hamid Karzai, the president, who's just keeps playing loose and wild with what's going to happen in the future. And this is on the heels of our intelligence people saying they're worried they could lose air bases used for drone strikes if the final security deal can't happen, can't be struck with Karzai. So that might be it for the anybody concerned about the drones and the collateral damage, then you like this. Because there's a chance that, boom, that's it. He doesn't sign. See, I think he's just playing with the White House. I think at the end of this, the end of the line, he'll sign. That's what I think he'll do. Just drag it out. Wait and wait and wait and wait until, okay, this is the last moment possible that you can get this deal done, and then he's going to come up with a way to get the deal done. That's what I think. I'm going to throw a curveball at you because I know there's some music fans listening to America Tonight. And a lot of people used to watch the Grammys. And I'm sure one of the networks, I think it's CBS, that airs it or aired it this time around is hoping that you watched this time. And at the ceremony, a group called Daft Punk walked away with a ton of hardware. So I'm just wondering if you know who Daft Punk is. How about Macklemore and Ryan Lewis? How about Lorde? Any of those names sound familiar? You have any idea what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the Grammys? Or no, you have no clue. You're still thinking about 70s music, which, by the way, I feel you. There's a 70s station that I actually listen to. It's pretty good because they dig up some stuff that seems that I've never heard before. But for what it's worth, the Grammys, they did their thing. And there were a lot of different people that walked away with some interesting prizes. And one of them was Daft Punk. And if you know who Daft Punk is, send me a line. I want you to tell me at least three of their songs. If you come up with three of them, and I think it's legit, and I don't think you've Googled it, I'll send you a copy of my book, Level the Playing Field. Hang with us. We're going Middle East next on ATN.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network. GCN.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. He's wrote a great piece that's up on Huffington Post about Iraq. And, of course, we've been talking about the situation there since the very beginning here on ATN. And part of the piece, and one of the things that Ivan says, before we go to him, I'm going to read this for you. U.S. intervention in the first place, not abandonment, is the real problem. The U.S. 13-year nation-building intervention in Afghanistan after 9/11 destabilized nuclear-armed Pakistan, which created the Pakistani Taliban. And then he goes further in the piece to talk about Iraq, that's been an artificial country since the British created it after World War I to get its oil. Bingo, the light goes off, and we've talked about the three different factions, the religious factions in the region, and the problem in the first place in being in the middle of that. And so, Ivan, I think you hit the head on the nail, and certainly you're well-schooled in this, have talked about it many times in pieces that you've written. But you say Obama, this is the title of it, Obama should be careful of a slippery slope back into Iraq. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think we're already headed down that slope. It may not go to fruition. I don't know. But there's danger because, you know, anytime you you go in and you try to remodel a country with military force, you're kind of always on the hook if something goes wrong there. Everyone looks to you to go back in. You know, the French handle their colonial possessions, former colonial possessions in Africa. The British handle affairs in their former colonial possessions. And then you have America, which has done all these interventions all over the world. People look to us, well, hey, country A is now falling apart. Well, you got to go back in there. So we may not go back in right now, but certainly they're ramping up aid to the government because they're very scared that we spent years training these security forces after Rumsfeld and Paul Bremer dismantled the Iraqi military, which is a big mistake, you know, after we invaded the country. We created a military, but it's still not doing very well against these al-Qaeda fighters who started in Iraq, went over to Syria, got seasoned in the civil war there, and now are back in Iraq again. And, of course, if we remember it, the funny thing about U.S. policy is Americans don't seem to have long memories because we always forget that we helped either create or encourage our enemies before we had to fight them. And a lot of times they're our allies or we unwittingly created al-Qaeda, for example, funding the Soviet, the Mujahideen against the Soviets in the 80s, right? That turned into al-Qaeda. Well, you know, there's countless examples of where the U.S. has intervened, and then it's come back to bite the U.S. And if you look at the three interventions that we've done recently, Libya, Iraq, and Afghanistan, we've just made messes of every country. They were better off before we got there. And it was pretty bad in Afghanistan with the Taliban. It was pretty bad in Iraq with Saddam Hussein. And it was pretty bad in Libya with Gaddafi. But they were autocratic societies. But if you played by the rules, you know, you could survive. Now they have chaos and people are being, you know, shot in the streets, you know, random violence, which is the worst possible thing, right? So there are things worse than autocracies, and we've managed to bring them about. So our interventions are always fraught. We try to bring democracy, at least ostensibly, but in reality, we see in various places when our interests go against democracy, we either overthrow democratic governments, which we've done at least five times, and probably more if I stop to think about it, since the end of the Cold War. And also, sometimes we don't stick up for democracy. And the Arab Spring, we've had very mixed approach to that. But so the democracy rhetoric often masks interests that we're trying to, you know, promote by using military force. But the problem is there are so many unforeseen consequences. And of course, Iraq is probably the biggest example of that. Nothing went right, and now it's falling apart as predictably it would, because once you pop the top off of an artificial country, it was only ruled by a strongman, and it was politically incorrect to say, well, is Iraq ready for democracy? But of course, it wasn't, and it still isn't. And they had this sham democracy, and all the Shiite government is now oppressing the Sunnis in retribution for when the Sunnis oppressed the Shia. And so there's no climate of political compromise. You have to be willing to compromise to have a functioning democracy, and they really don't.
And so as you see this and you watch this, from afar, and you talk about this too in your book, and you mention it in the piece, that why weren't the three groups negotiated with? Why didn't they just give them? I mean, isn't that part of the deal in the Middle East? It's a land grab, and it's thousands of years of history. And then when you throw in our form of democracy, and you just explained it, it doesn't mix out correctly. Isn't there a better way to do this, as you suggest, to just partition the country off?
Well, of course, the best thing to do would have never gotten into the problem in the first place by not intervening in a lot of these places. But once we were in, I wrote this book a few years ago called Partitioning for Peace, an Exit Strategy for Iraq, which is still very applicable. And I said if they don't partition this country in a soft way, that is by the groups doing the hard negotiations to divide up the country, then they're going to have to do it by a hard partition, meaning by war. And, of course, that's now what's happening. Effectively, the country has been partitioned, and that's what we're seeing. There's three sort of areas with the different ethnic groups or sectarian groups, as you will. There's the sectarians, Arabs, the Sunni Arabs, and then the Kurdish, the Kurds who are Sunnis, but they're not Arabs. So you have three major groups there. And, if this had been done when the U.S. was still this negotiated under the U.S. auspices, under the military occupation that the U.S. had, I think that probably would have been the best thing to do. You could either make a divide into three countries, or if that would threaten Turkey too much, you could have a loose confederation. You'd still call it Iraq, but the security and the justice system would be provided by each region, so that we wouldn't have, like you do now, you have Shiite security forces and you have their Shiite justice imposed on Sunnis or other groups, right? And you also, yeah, if you have a weak central government, if it's a loose confederation, you don't have the groups fighting over the central government. These groups have seen what happened during Saddam Hussein's period, and even before that, Iraq was ruled by the Sunni minority. When they see a strong government, everybody wants to get control of the government because they know the government's going to be used to oppress the other two groups, right? So if you have a weak central government, then nobody wants to take it over because it's weak. You know, you have the justice and you have the security forces in the regions, and you may have a free trade area economically. So Iraq would still be a country, but it would just be a loose confederation of those regions, and they would all have a common market, which, that might be doable. But that didn't happen, and so now we're down to the warfare. Now, of course, after the war is over, there probably will be another civil war there. Maybe you could do this, after everybody's tired of fighting. But right now, it doesn't look very good for Iraq at all, I don't think.
Yeah, and you specifically point out the statistics at the top: 4,000 American lives gone, lost, and more than $1 trillion in taxpayer dollars that are thrown out the window. And Americans don't have the stomach for this anymore, do they, Ivan?
No, I don't think. I think they're war weary because they've been told that every war we fight is necessary. Like, why do we need to go into Libya? I mean, Muammar Gaddafi was actually playing ball with the West. He had gotten rid of his nuclear program and that sort of thing. And we really didn't need to take him out. And in fact, if you're Iran, you're looking at what happened to Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi, who didn't have nuclear weapons. And then you look at how we gingerly treat North Korea, who probably has obtained a nuclear weapon. Well, what do you do if you're Iran? You try to get a nuclear weapon, right, to keep the U.S. out and that sort of thing. So I think a lot of these interventions are really counterproductive, and we really ought to think about, the Libyan thing just seems like France wanted to do it, and so Obama went along with it sort of reluctantly. But and then Bush started the other two for whatever reasons. But, they weren't very good reasons. And I think that the U.S. has a huge military. And when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? Or is it,
yeah,
if you have a nail, everything looks like a hammer. I don't know. Anyway, whatever it is, you know what I mean? I mean, we tend to use military power too much because we have a big military and we like to use it. But you can't reform or remodel societies with the military, because they're foreign cultures. They have different cultures, and not all of them are going to be receptive to democratization, if that's truly your goal, rather than just grabbing oil or, grabbing something else that you want.
Yeah. Ivan Elin, thanks. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Check out his blog on the Huffington Post. Thanks, Ivan.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight. One of our favorites, Nazir Chansab, who really has enlightened us about Afghanistan. And he's got a book coming out that's called Silent Trees, a Novel of Afghanistan. Nazir, thanks so much for joining us back on ATN.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you certainly know this, that there's lots of conversations about what's happening in Afghanistan and what's going to happen at the end of 2014. Let's start there. Let's get your take on what's happening at this point with the United States withdrawing and NATO allies as well. There's some confusion over that. As you know, Hamid Karzai hasn't officially signed the agreement, even though all the tribal elders agreed to it, over 200 plus, but he hasn't signed it. As somebody who loves Afghanistan, saw what the country was, saw what happened, saw, you know, you've seen what's going on now, what are your feelings as all of this is happening?
My take is that most of the people are very worried about it, and people don't understand why Karzai is doing what he's doing. People believe that he is keeping the future of Afghanistan and of the U.S. And of the relationship with the U.S. hostage because of some private reasons that he has.
Do you think Afghanistan is better off or worse than it was 12 years ago?
I think Afghanistan is more or less the same, in the same condition as it was. It is a broken country. It's a failed state. It cannot pay its bill. It cannot secure its security. It has no economy to speak of. It needs very badly help from the international community. And what Mr. Karzai does is basically telling the international community to get out.
Yeah, and then, of course, you go back to what happens with the Taliban, what happens to the people in the villages. And I guess this is a great question to ask you. A lot of people, Nazir, as you know, don't really understand Afghanistan, and they try to compare it to other countries in the Middle East. What is different about Afghanistan compared to, let's say, the situation that we went through in Iraq?
Well, number one, Afghanistan does not belong to the Arab Middle East. It's not an Arab country. It's the Afghans are not Arabs. Secondly, they speak another language. They speak Farsi or Pashto. Thirdly, the communality is, of course, religion. They have the same religion. It's an Islamic country. It used to be a very tolerant country. It accepted the other. It accepted differences. But now, under the pressure of war and poverty, and elements that have become very fundamentalistic, it has become religiously intolerant country.
Yeah. When you were growing up and compared to what you've seen, how tough is that to watch? Because, you know, you think in America we have freedom of speech, and as much as we can complain and are furious about some of the things that we see happening in Washington and we don't like votes and on certain things, still there is a freedom about being in the United States. Is it tough to see what's happened in Afghanistan for you?
Well, may I tell you something that I experienced myself about 6 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
I was in Kabul. I was on TV, and the interviewer asked me about the project, and the project has completely failed, and I said so. And then he asked, "So who is responsible?" I said, "The minister himself was responsible, because he has to accept responsibility for his ministry." And by the time, and the minister is a warlord, by the time I came home, I had a call from the Ministry of Interior, and I was told that I was too tough with this man, and they gave me a number so that I could call if something happened.
Wow.
So as far as the freedom of talk is concerned and giving your opinion freely, it's not what you have here.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Giving you a number if you have any problems, that has to make you feel very, very uncomfortable, I would think.
Well, I actually felt that the man would come in and either beat me up or kill me or do something with me.
Wow.
Nothing happened, but they were worried about it.
Right. In the news, obviously, lately, and all of us have been talking about this, and we're supposed to get him on the show, the former defense secretary, Robert Gates, wrote a book almost 600 pages long. It's called Duty Memoirs of a Secretary at War. And in it, as you know, he writes that President Obama doesn't believe in his own strategy and doesn't consider the war in Afghanistan to be his. For him, it's all about getting out. When you heard what Gates had to say, what did you think about that?
I thought about two things. Number one, that you're getting it from the horse's mouth, that things have not worked out in Afghanistan. Secondly, I don't agree with President Obama. He made Afghanistan his policy when he called it the right war, the proper war, the just war, and then sent more troops. He brought the troop level, American troop level, to 100,000, and introduced a new strategy over there. He actually made the war to be his war.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in seeing this and the skepticism and then reaction from the administration and even the VP said that, you know, Gates holds him responsible for poisoning the well against the military leadership and all that kind of stuff. There is heavy suspicion, and there are certainly a lot of questions about military leaders, and I think that comes with the territory, especially when it comes to Afghanistan, and especially as we've seen going through a couple of different generals there in Afghanistan. But I know from the people that we've had on this show where Nazir, we've had some of the most wonderful people who served in Afghanistan again and again, a couple of different tours, and they told me that the people in the villages really appreciated what the Americans were doing and trying to help with water or trying to help in some of the more poor areas with roads or that kind of thing. Do you think that's pretty accurate as far as the people are concerned?
I think it's pretty accurate. The problem is really in the government itself at the highest levels. Those are the people who should partner with the United States, and the United States, I believe, has had no partner in Afghanistan from the beginning because the government was formed by the drug lords and the drug kingpins and warlords, and they are the product of chaos. They don't believe in the rule of law. They have thrived and become powerful and rich and chaos. They would like to keep it that way.
Yeah. Tell us about your novel. I don't want to let you go without knowing about the novel Silent Trees, a novel about Afghanistan. Tell us about it. What's the gist of this?
Well, it's the story of a number of characters who live under a dictatorship, and it tries to show what lack of freedom does to people, how it forms their characters, how it forms the relationship to each other, and ultimately how it destroys them. This is a story, and I was hoping that Americans would read it. And at the end would think, thank God, we live here, and become aware of the freedom they have, of the good life they have, and try not to take it for granted and be on guard for it.
Yeah, so well said. Do you feel that way? You've been here, you left Afghanistan in 1975, and while you go back and try to help the people, how do you feel about the United States?
I feel very well. I live in a wonderful state, in a wonderful area. My children grew up here, and what we did with coming to the United States is we got stability. Freedom and stability, and that's a great thing to have in life.
Boy, no kidding. Nazir Shansab, please, everybody pick up this novel, and I love his sentiment about appreciating more what we have here in the United States. You can get it on Amazon, and remember, Silent Trees, and Nazir, we wish you the best with the book, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, kid. Thank you for being so kind.
Thank you. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at alkavision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. That's alkavision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new alkavision.com.